Fuck it, we'll do it live.
We're gonna do this.
Yeah, fuck it, we'll do it live.
This is happening.
All right, so one more cheers. Let's get this on tape. And let's get the a bit drunk going.
All right.
And, hopefully we'll get going from there. So, yeah. Oh shit, you know what I didn't do? I was like, I wanted to have a good intro. Maybe let's decide that now.
Yeah. So here is my suggestion actually for how we do the intro segment.
Yeah.
I listened to a couple other podcasts that do this, and it's pretty good. So what they do is they record the bulk of their podcast, like the topics that they want to talk about, and they just go over them. And then after they've done that bulk portion of the recording, they then cut the intro. So they go, today we're going to talk about this. And then that way they can say, like, this is what we talked about, rather than us going, hey, we're going to talk about these things, and maybe we don't get to, like, two of them.
That's kind of smart.
So there's
the two schools of thought, like that one where it's like, you got your intro, like the topics that are coming up today, and then like, you know, sometimes they do like a small music break or whatever, right? And then kind of like a TV show, and then like roll into it. And then there's a couple that I listen to, like CU Podcast and 84 Plays Podcast, which is really good. Like, they just like kind of jump right into it. Like 84, like it's a bunch of Americans in Japan, so they just like, I think the Japanese is like Irashai or something like that for welcome. They're all drinking as it is, and they're like Irashai, just like shouting it, and then they're like, wow, this is 84 Podcast, and then they move into all their shit from there. So it's like that's one of those podcasts that'll go for like 2.5 hours, like two,
right, where it's just so it's rambling, like, it's
super, yeah, it can nonsense. Be it can be super interesting, but actually I really like it, but it's like I listen to it over the course of a week,
right?
It's like I'm done here,
move on to right
one. So what do you guys like, what school of thought, like are we more bar, like do we want to start or like beyond, we'll do that, like they just roll into it and then they get to their sections as they is it like, because I was thinking like we start with like clinking beers and we're like cheers and welcome, and this is a bit drunk, this is the Bit Pubs audio podcast where we you know,
I mean, I'm fine with that. Things of, I'm good either way, actually.
Things of finer, like, nature.
Danny goes both ways.
Yeah,
it does go both ways. Danny, I'm gonna up your gain here a little bit.
Hold your distance. Did you get that?
Yeah. It's right there. We got it. All three of us got it on our mics.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he turned his head, we still got it on our mics.
What happens if I undo that? Nothing, because we're plugged directly into it.
Yep.
It's probably less system. That's our intro right there.
Yeah, if you could just make sure that that's our intro.
So I think this is going to be the most awkward part, is how do we get this started? Should I just get a couple, like, cheers and welcome to A Bit Drunk? Like, is that...
Yeah, well, okay.
Because you figure, like, music will probably be playing in the background. Like, we'll have a layer of music. So all it sounds awkward right now.
So the whole idea of this podcast is to have it be conversational and casual,
going to
right?
A bar, like, drinking and talking about this.
We don't really want to sound like we've planned too much, right?
Right. I just, like, the only thing I would want, like, somewhat official... is like, it's like when we first like brainstorming the ideas, it's just like, here's what this is, and then like, all right, we're gonna talk about this now, like here's some drunk talk.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, what do we got for drunk talk this week? Like, I've got, you know, it's like, I got some, it's like, motherfucker made recording stuff out of a power glove.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, like, yeah, let's talk about, like, let's talk about that and what we can do with that, like all right. The other things that we want to make with that. So it's gonna be awkward. But I think I like just the, like, all of us is like, cheers and welcome to A Bit Drunk. This is the Bit Pub audio podcast where we sit, we drink, and I don't know, we should probably come up with something clever.
We should come up with some sort of, you know what?
And we should come up with something clever.
We should come up with something clever.
We should come with some clover.
And crimson.
We should come on some clover. Come with clover. Come. Let's smoke some clovers.
Let's just come.
I think the band, your neighbor's band, probably can play that song.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, they're Drum Circle Extraordinaires over there.
Yeah. Mm. They were going with Mumford & Sons for a while.
Is that what they were doing?
Yeah, it was kind of fun because the song, like the song is like keeping its beat, and their drummer was trying his damnedest.
Yeah.
To, like, go along with it, and it was...
He was just not doing so great.
Yeah, it was
just failing super hard. Yeah. Maybe he didn't have a big enough mustache or suspenders.
Yeah,
those two are required.
That could be it.
Yeah,
I almost wanted to like shout something heartbreaking over the fence and like, people without rhythm shouldn't play drums. because I had friends who if you like, walk I want to without, play drums and they had no sense of beat. It's like, you should not do that.
You know, if you walk without rhythm, then you'll avoid the worm. I don't know if you knew.
If you walk like an Egyptian,
it's a manic Monday. Or
away, 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 away.
I was just going to leave it as a rhetorical question. If you walk like an Egyptian?
All right, so I think I'm in favor my of opinion. The clink and the welcome to BitPub. This is
the clink and the drink.
Clink yeah. and drinking.
So what should we say?
What should that's be our what actual, we should rename the podcast.
What should be our actual verbiage here?
What should be what's our mission verbiage? Statement?
Yeah, yeah. What do we? What's our brand?
What's our 5-year plan? Really? Like, let's go with that.
So it's like cheers and welcome. This is welcome to a bit drunk. This is the BitPub audio podcast. We're gonna like. I think after that, that's where I'm stuck. I just want something somewhat catchy.
Yeah.
That's our intro.
And you know what? I think for the first episode or two, we're kind of working that out. Like,
that could be it. It's like, cheers and welcome to A Bit Drunk. This is the BitPub's audio podcast where we do stuff and we're drinking the whole time. My name is Ian Greer and I'm joined by Mr. James Lambert and Mr. Danny Gwynn.
I'm going to see if this headphone cable will reach all the way to the cooler.
If it'll reach around.
The cooler. That's actually I kind of like yeah. I kind of like that.
Can I have another one, please?
Good girl.
Hey, yo, James.
I kind of like that. That's
let me get one of them.
I'll take a little undercover.
Can I have a little sip of your undercover?
Can I see
undercover? I just want to taste it. I just want to taste it on my lip.
Bless you. It's like hoppy, but for an ale. I'm really glad, like, for our first recording session, we're drinking super local stuff, which makes me very happy.
Golden Biersch.
Yeah, that's a little too much for me, I think.
Hey, hold on. I'll get that one, too.
I'm going to go two-fisting.
I will fist twice as well.
Two times the fisting. But
double the fisting for double
the time. Double the fun. It's a statement of a great anus.
Double fist
another well elastic anus,
probably not that elasticy if you're regularly
you can get doubles in this. You can get doubles in
it's probably like the pit of Sarlacc.
No, yeah, I'm saying we're talking like we're talking like gone. Sad wet popped like water just, balloon kind of situation yeah. just flopping around
yeah so it's just there's no way there's no grip to it anymore no,
gonna, like no. a really old slip and slide
yeah
yeah
but yeah all right let's give this a shot
all right
Cheers and welcome. This is A Bit Drunk. This is the BitPub audio podcast. We're going to drink. We're going to talk about things. We're going to figure it all out because this is the first episode. And fuck us. We don't know really what we're doing. My name is Ian Greer, and I am joined by the illustrious James Lambert.
Hello, I'm James Lambert.
That's James Lambert. And also, some fat guy named Danny Gwynn.
Hey, fuckers.
He's not really fat.
Sorry to be here. Fit.
But, so... That was our first awkward intro, everyone. So if you're listening to us really for the awkward. Very first time, so are we. We just came up with that on the spot.
We appreciate your input on how we can improve.
We don't want feedback. Shut up.
Yeah, we don't need feedback.
I mean, I didn't say we're going to listen to it. We just appreciate the fact that there is feedback.
I don't even know appreciate. I'm hung on that word appreciate.
Dave. Okay, maybe that's poor. That's poor.
You know what's your 5-year plan for the word appreciate? I don't know how I feel about that. What? let's do some drunk talk. Let's do some drunk talk out there.
All right.
We're figuring our shit out from here. So we've had, kind of up to this, like, it's been a fairly busy week, but we've also got some pretty...
So I want to pause while we're kind of working the kinks out here.
Yeah.
So for our audio podcast here on Bit Drunk, the whole thing is that we're drinking the entire time whilst talking about electronics entertainment. And one of the things that we would like to do for you guys is to talk to you about the beer that we are consuming or other alcohol. It doesn't have to be beer. So today our selections are I am enjoying a Gordon Biersch Marzen handcrafted German style Auburn lager. And it is... trying to find where it's
the brewed. Lapping sound you hear in the background would be a husky kelpie mix enjoying some fresh water. out of a bowl.
It's so, brewed in San Jose. It's on Taylor Street.
It's just on the way.
Yeah, like right over there. We go. San Jose, California. Right here in San Jose, California.
Yeah, by the way, we are recording this in San Jose, California, everybody. So what we're gonna like to do is keep it some of our brews local, or just at least craft, and let you know what we're drinking. So
what are you guys drinking over there? What are you enjoying over there, Ian?
I've got a Lagunitas. They're out of Petaluma. So if you're familiar with California at all, look at San Francisco and drive about 45 minutes north of that.
That's where they grow the marijuana, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I think California is where they grow the marijuana.
All of it?
My family in Texas would tell you that California is where all the marijuana
is. Because we in a drought, we ain't grown shit this year.
25% water reduction? Mandatory?
I can't water my lawn! I don't really care. Anyways, it makes my bill go up, so.
Yeah. I hate lawns.
Yeah. See, I like them. I don't mind, like, growing up in the Midwest, it was just kind of like, oh, it was like rolling grass hills and like it was just neighborhoods, and it was like, it was just part of like a duty growing up, like, oh yeah, I gotta go mow the lawn. And then it was like how I made money. It's like how I bought games and shit for a while. But so it's like, oh, it's just kind of stuck in me, like I like that. But then here it's like, it's not,
you said stuck in me too.
it's stuck way up
so easy.
I think
it just goes right in.
Yeah,
I liked mowing lawns, and there was a novelty for mowing lawns when I first owned a home, and then it quickly wore off when the water bill approached three times I was used to.
I think that's it. I think that's the weird part is, what was weird for me is, like, in California, it doesn't really rain in the spring and the summer here, which was brand new for me. Like, that's like, growing up, like, I grew up in St. Louis, and April, you don't see the sun for April. Like, you've heard the expression April showers, blah blah blah, and it's literally gray for the month of April in St. Louis. That's flood season. Like, it, like, all the rivers, like, it's the river city, so there's like Mississippi, the Missouri, the Merrimack, blah blah blah. Like, if it begins with M, it's probably a river in St. Louis, and they all flood, and they flood the plains and everything, and like roads are closed and all this other crap. Suicide rates go through the roof because it's so gray. No joke, statistically, St. Louis suicide rates go through the roof during the month of
how do the murder rates go?
That's always way the hell up there. Okay. Like, if I didn't see a murder in a week, something's
wrong. Like, witness one.
If I did not witness a murder in a week,
if he did not commit a murder every week,
yeah, well, then I would have to go murder somebody.
It's
like an unspoken rule. It's like, nobody's killed this week. Well, I gotta go take care of shit.
Yeah,
like, I gotta do this and at least get us one from there.
Yeah, pretty much.
For the good of the state. Yeah, it's like murdered and then beaten by police. Too soon?
No,
not soon enough. Okay, all right, cool.
Just the right amount of timing.
Yeah, because that one happened. That one happened.
Also, if you're easily offended, then you should be forewarned right now that we don't give a shit.
Turn this podcast off.
Yeah, turn it off and go download Barney's Sing-Along and just enjoy that.
That game teaches rhythm. It teaches proper tone.
Listen, it is the alphabet.
It teaches inaccurate dinosaur biomorphology.
It does that too.
Yeah.
It does that too.
Yeah. Lies.
All eyes.
We should, side note, for one of the YouTube segments that we'll eventually do, we should play one of the Barney games for Genesis or Super Nintendo. I think there's a couple.
Yes, there's an ABC game for sure.
There's a, yeah. So we should definitely get that in there.
Just in case it comes up and we need someone to play Mario Teaches Typing, I'm totally going to volunteer for that.
Oh my God. We should have a typing scene.
What about Mario Paint? Are you going to volunteer for that as well?
No, I'm terrible.
Not the artistic type.
We should have an entire episode dedicated to typing at some point, because there was like,
wow, Mario Teaches Typing. People will not listen to that.
Like, we'll just get it on film, so it's like 5 minutes, and they're like, what the hell is this? And then it's like, oh, it's only 5 minutes. But there was like that. There was Typing of the Dead for the Sega Dreamcast. It was House of the Dead, but instead of shooting the light gun, you had to type. Like, it would give you a word, and you have to type it.
In order to shoot
the zombie.
Yeah, in Mario Teaches Typing, in order to, like, run past the obstacles, you have to type words or sentences to get past the obstacles. And if you if you misspell things, then, like, the thwomp falls on you.
Was there a time element involved? Like, did you
Yes, I believe there was.
So it's like you got to type it in a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Difficulty levels.
So, like, four dimensions.
Yeah. Space-time. It was Hawking's favorite game.
What was it?
So to answer your question in a very roundabout fashion, Danny, I am drinking Lagunitas Undercover Investigation Shutdown Ale. It's an ale, but it's quite hoppy, and it's right up from just from up the road, in California, for us. Actually, about an hour and a half away for us in Petaluma, California. So it's damn good.
They also have really great cheese there. If you haven't checked out cheese from Petaluma,
they got some good cows.
I don't know if they feed the cows beer or what.
They probably do. It's that great magical section of like, hey, this is how we should be doing farming. And it's just like huge open grass and hills and the cows kind of like roam free and everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, they killed an animal, but like they did it. Like, I just feel fine eating this. Like, and there's great cheese from it.
It died happy.
Reyes. And then it's also like all the oysters up there too. You get the oyster bay and like Tamales Bay and that area. California grew on me. I'll say that. I'll say that on our first podcast.
It's like a fungus.
Yeah.
It gets under the nail and just stays with you. You're not getting rid of it.
It'll go away.
Yeah.
I got one of those right now.
Unless you get the nail removed.
I got one of those right now. I don't.
And then once you get the nail removed, it grows back all weird and sideways.
You have to get it removed again. It's the whole thing.
Just remove it all together.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you get a bionic nail? Would that...
I'm trying to think of...
If you could get a replacement robot nail... Like, what would you want it to do? I mean, obviously, just like everything else, I wanted to have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth.
I'm going
to
go with...
Bluetooth?
Hey, that's annoying.
I wanted to...
Would you get that on tape?
I would want to grow my bionic nail inside a mouse. Just like the ear they grew inside a mouse.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I want my nail grown.
And then just... Like, and then just,
remove, and then just and then put the mouse on your foot.
Like, spliced onto you.
I would want my nail to be able to like stab through my shoe like a spike, like kind of a modern day boot knife.
So if you got into a bar fight.
Yeah, yeah, that could kind of tap my heel on the floor and have a sharp metallic spike jut out through the front of my shoe.
Just right into their shin.
So that I can just go right into someone's gut.
Poison laced, I hope.
Of course.
Flesh eating.
Of course, nip.
Poison or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. One of them.
I mean, probably all of the above.
I hope so.
Yeah. Just as horrible and unpleasant as possible. As if getting stabbed in the gut was not bad enough. Now you're poisoned and it's eating your flesh.
Oh, and you might get tetanus too.
I mean, hopefully.
Yeah,
like, I mean, I would keep that thing very like dirty. And
I have large sweaty feet, so I just imagine if I had like a metal like toenail, it would just be rusted to hell and back.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just and yeah, so it's like. Like, if I kicked you with that, not only hurt, it would probably, you know, tear up whatever I kick, part of you I kicked. But then, like, a week later, you'd be like, why aren't, everything's locking up and I'm sick. What's going on? It's like, oh, I also gave you tetanus after I kicked you. Danny's going on to number two. Attaboy.
Like, it's like if you had the character from the evil henchman from Bond, Jaws, on your foot.
Oh, right.
Like, you had that guy's face on your foot.
That was also filmed during a time where I feel like he would have had to deal with moisture in his teeth. Like, I don't think, like, there was stainless steel, but I still feel like they hadn't really done it very well. Like, it was in an era where it's like, oh, it's stainless steel, it's still rust.
I think that's why he was evil.
Like, his teeth were just rusting.
Yeah.
He was just mad.
Can we talk about the James Bond movie that Jaws appears in? And kind of more specifically, I'd like to raise the point that Roger Moore is the very worst James Bond. He's so bad. And I had only seen his James Bond when I was a lot younger. I didn't really like grasp it or pay that close of attention or anything. But I saw it recently, or I started to watch it again recently when they had a little bit ago. They had a bunch of the 007 movies on Netflix, I think. And I went to watch whichever movie that is, and I couldn't make it more than like an hour into the movie, and. I never realized how piss poor of an actor Roger Moore is. They basically were like, hey, we're going to put you in a tux. Just be Roger Moore for an hour and overact. And like, oh, it's so bad.
I think I saw something on Reddit about this a while ago where he, like, he got the part because it was kind of swindled his way into the part, if I remember.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Correctly.
Terrible person, terrible James Bond. God awful.
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
I would also like to point out that I think, personally, those movies with Roger Moore had the most awesome gadgets.
I will agree to that.
Which I think is probably the people that were making those films' way of making up for his terrible acting. Let's put you in an alligator submarine.
Yeah.
Because no, you're terrible.
I just committed the greatest podcast faux pas and coughed like directly into the mic.
Yeah. Hope you enjoy that, kids. But you know what? That. Through the magic of editing, we can make that go away.
I don't know. I kind of want to just leave it. I don't want to keep it real.
Let's just keep it.
We'll keep it raw.
This is like first real life, man.
It's like it's our first. Like we're a really good band, and like Steve Albini.
Wait.
If you don't know who Steve Albini is,
back up. We're a really good band.
Yeah. Can we start with that first? How we're not
a good band? All right. So
can we not compare ourselves to a good band?
To a really good band. But,
like, we're mediocre
so
at we're, best.
Okay, so we're like, yeah, at best, that's true.
We're not
so
Black Sabbath.
We're like really terrible, but they like our moxie. like Steve Albini hears us. Go look up Steve Albini if you don't know who that is. Like, he hears us and he's like, you guys are terrible, but I'm going to produce your record. And everybody would be like, that was their fucking masterpiece. And like that, this could be it. Like, this could be the first one. It sounds like we recorded in a garbage can, but Steve Albini worked his magic on it.
A masterpiece of mediocrity.
Yeah.
Man,
band name.
Can we copyright that?
That's done. Great.
I think we just like, I think we just, as far as I understand law, as soon as you say it out loud and it goes on the internet somewhere, you own it.
Well, you have to say I copyrighted that.
Oh,
once you do that, then it's yours.
TM, right? That's all you need.
Tim.
So whilst like, if I can pollute the podcast with like the first podcast episode with a little bit of podcast, it's talk itself. Like I was looking up the tags to add to like the little
dog
fart.
It smells so bad.
Yeah, she's really.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
that's fucking horrific.
So anybody out there has huskies, you already know the assholes of the world, the dog world.
Their farts are also husky.
Their farts are miserable, and she's totally content with herself right now.
She's that is awful.
She's relaxing. But I was looking up so. In order to for people to actually subscribe to the iTunes, Stitcher, anything like that, it follows an RSS feed, which is basically just an XML document and will have specific tags. I was like, I don't know what tags it uses. So as I was making our document, like what ones that we have to put in there, it's like, oh, you can use this symbol. It's a circle and a P, and this is actually like podcasts will use this in addition to a copyright symbol, because apparently it's also some old symbol for like phonograph recordings and other types. That's like
phonograph.
This is for phonograph.
And why was that Irish?
Phonograph! Oh, a lot of phonographs come from Ireland. That was, I'm sorry.
A shitload of them.
I mean, you know, for a bad, for
it could
poorly
have been for,
done American style.
It could have been
imitation
for,
that wasn't so bad.
If it came from Ireland, it could be for potato.
Potato.
Yeah.
No, because then it wouldn't
we
be
have
there.
To that? Is that too
it would. It would.
I'm exist. Scottish, so I'm allowed to hate on the Irish. Well, and then
both,
I'm allowed so to be drunk hate, and love the Irish.
I'm both,
that's
and I can
goes.
Hate.
If you're fighting the English, you love the Irish.
Oh yeah. We all, both of us were always fighting. We fight each other, but then it's like, well, we both fight the English. Like, then we're best friends.
Of course.
And also, if we're drinking, then we're best friends. And then we're and then we're one and the same. But if we're sober, which is rare for Scottish people.
Let's be honest.
Any Scottish people listening,
at that point.
If you're a sober Scottish person, it's totally fine to be that way. My family, it is not. It's looked down upon. Sobriety is looked down
sobriety.
Upon.
Sobriety. Also, living past 50 is looked down upon.
Yeah, not many of us has made it very far. I'm like, I hit 30 this year, and I was like, I didn't expect that. Didn't see that one
like
coming.
The fourth longest lived member of your family.
Yeah. Milestones like, graduated college, lived past 30.
My God.
Kept the same liver.
The Greer Hall of Fame.
Yeah. This is me.
Hello.
This is just me drinking.
We don't know how he's doing it. It's amazing. Evolution.
Evolution, people.
In action.
What are we talking about? But yeah, there's another symbol that actually for copyright, but for actual like audio recordings. And it's made its way back into... It was around for a long time, and then things disappeared like probably in the 70s, and especially once we started hitting the digital media age. And then it's kind of made its way back as the, like, even the at mark was, I think, at one point used on keyboards for something specific, like typists would use it. And now this particular symbol has made its way back into mainstream culture because, like, oh, podcasting, there's a lot of people making audio. And it's like, here's a way to, like, also note, like, it's copyright. It's an audio copyright of what you're doing. So, and I guess it might be treated legally different somewhat because, like, the content in here, like, people can, like, we're a free license, effectively, but.
Right.
But yeah, it was interesting. But
very good, Ian.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. So you held this fairly successfully. So we had a lot of shit happening this week, plus a lot of cool stuff that we found. Kind of mixed around. Like it's pretty cool stuff that we wanted to talk about. So Danny, you had a couple of things.
Yeah. So
here's some drunk talk for you.
Danny, yeah. All right. So we're gonna get into a little bit of what we like to refer to as drunk talk.
Drunk talk.
So this is kind of free form, but I just want to nerd out a little bit about how awesome Nintendo's Virtual Console is, and the fact that they're finally bringing Nintendo 64 games and Nintendo DS games to the Wii U version of the Virtual Console.
Yeah.
Woo!
Thank
Wii
you.
Wii U, Wii U.
Thank you, Ian.
If that system was in the shape of a fire truck,
it'd be awesome.
Great,
best
right?
Day ever.
Right?
Or they just need to put a light bar on the top of it and it's like a police car.
Oh my god.
Danny, can you turn your phone off?
That's twice.
I'm going to murder you.
Yes.
So much murder. It's like sooner than we planned.
I mean, we set up this kill room.
Yeah.
But we wanted to do the podcast first.
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough.
One and done.
One podcast out there.
One and done.
Yeah, so...
So, virtual console.
Yes. Virtually console me.
Yeah, so there was the Nintendo Direct this week. It was on April Fool's, nonetheless.
Which
threw everybody off.
Is it real? I don't know.
Yeah, because, they're watching Nintendo Direct on April Fool's. What are they? And somebody like me is like, if they make a Metroid joke... I'm gonna punch him in the goddamn throat.
Because
we're like, oh, new Metroid, just fucking with you. And I just would have flown to Japan, made a day long montage, like flying to Japan, like reading on the plane, thing like that, getting to Tokyo, trying to figure out the signs for the trains and everything, like, you know, making finally like
putting on day long yellow montage, and black jumpsuit,
and then like getting to Kyoto, like walking into Iwata's office and then punching him in the goddamn face, and then like leaving. All the same way, very Family Guy-esque montage. It's way longer than it should be. Like, that's what would have happened if they made a Metroid joke. But they did. So it's neither here nor there.
Very good, Ian.
Thank you.
Yeah, so the fact that Nintendo 64 Virtual Console is happening now for Wii U is very exciting to me.
Yeah.
Nintendo 64 being my favorite console, I think, probably ever.
Really?
But what about GoldenEye?
At least the most nostalgic for me.
What about GoldenEye?
Is GoldenEye on the virtual console?
I believe it's on the Wii virtual console.
So my understanding was, they're like, you can now play N64 games on your Wii U natively, because the Wii U can boot to Wii mode, so if you already had virtual console stuff in there, you can go back and play it, and then you go back to Wii
mode.
Yeah, Wii mode. Okay. Which is, this thing is fairly confusing.
No.
But what they were saying is...
It's the new 3DS.
It's the new 3DS.
It's a capital N, so it's different.
NN3DS is how they abbreviate
it. Is it like Apple with the new iPad?
I think that's what they're going for.
I think so.
Well,
it's really annoying.
They actually... And they've stated that like they love Apple. Like, Nintendo loves Apple, and they kind of emulate what Apple does. So I would be surprised if they kind of go on this multi-year refresh stuff and they just call things the new this, that, whatever, and confuse the hell out of people.
Yeah.
I just want bobbleheads and paintball.
You'll get it.
I'm going back to GoldenEye.
What about Splatoon?
Splatoon, speaking of paintball.
Yeah.
This shit looks pretty legit. I want it.
Yeah.
Also, I'm a gigantic Nintendo fanboy, so I will suck their dick all day.
In front of
people, Ian.
I like. Yeah, I know. I've been there. I've seen it.
I mean, stuff. I'm not gay, but $20 is $20.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, even we're gay. It's $20. Like, who can't, like...
Regardless of sexual orientation.
Yeah, regardless of that.
How many Nintendo Marketplace points is that, though? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. It's all bullshit.
They're kind of doing this weird
thing. I think they stopped with the points. That happened...
Well, Club Nintendo ended, like, what? A few days ago.
Yeah.
March 31st.
That shit is gone. But in the Wii version of the online store, you could spend X number of dollars to get points, which was similar to how, like, Xbox Live
used
to
do it. That's right, yeah.
And it was, like, this weird...
It wasn't... Your dollars didn't translate to dollars. They translated to points,
but $20 was 2,000 points.
Yeah, so it was like a 10-to-1, which is super pointless.
Pointless, that?
but just make it cost money. Just like this game is $5,
which is what they're doing now.
Oh, good.
So they finally are not done.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
So because one of the things they were saying, like I was actually watching the direct today, so I was like, I wanted to get caught up on it. So I guess they're moving forward all of the existing N64 library from the Wii because Bill, what's his face? I forget. He's like head of marketing.
Right now, for the listeners at home, Danny was making a bukkake thing where he's sucking two penises.
There are multiple.
And he just put his fingers in their butts and then grip their balls.
Multiple penile are ejaculating onto a Danny's face and within his mouth. He's stimulating ani. He's stimulating nipples. You're gonna make it the plural. You know, it's way funnier than anuses.
I don't know. Like, anuses.
It sounds like octopi. Writers.
Yeah,
exactly.
Octopi. Octopoi.
Octopoi. That's where you grill them.
Yeah,
make them rot.
That's where they're made out of that purple root thing that they have in Hawaii, right?
Taro.
Taro.
Very good.
Taro.
Not to be confused with Taro.
Tia and Tamara. That's what they're made of.
What?
Whoops.
Okay.
Let's go back to it.
He indicated that, or at least the way I took it was, games that you N64 games that you've already purchased on your Wii, you can pay an upgrade price to go to Wii U for like $2
per game.
Per game.
Yeah. Okay. So the first game out on the Wii U Virtual Console is Mario 64. Right. I had previously purchased it, so now it's shows it to me at like there's a slashy through the price, and it's like, hey, only $2 because you have this shit already.
Gotcha. So is it because I was very celebratory? I just ordered my Wii U yesterday, and I'm very excited also about celibate. It. I'm very celibate.
Those go hand in hand with Nintendo products, I think.
Being celibate.
Celibate and celebratory.
I would say so.
You're not getting any, and you're happy.
I was never getting any while playing video games as a kid.
I think that's the dream, but I really think that if you break it down and you think about that scenario, that's bad. Like, you're not going to do well or be able to focus on either thing.
No, not at all. Like, unless you're with a person who's like,
wait, you kind of be. I got lost there. Are you talking about having sex?
I'm talking about having sex.
Yeah.
Oh. I think that nerds consider that.
I can't fathom that being a reality.
I think nerds.
We can't multitask.
I think horny nerds think of that as like the holy grail of gaming. Like, you know what would be awesome? If I got a Hummer while I was playing this game.
Yeah.
And I think it would just be no good. Like,
no,
your accuracy would go down if you're playing an FPS.
Yeah, you're either A, failing at the game and focusing on what's happening, in which case you're not playing and getting some.
Right.
Or, I don't know, maybe you get way too into the game, and then you get all softy, and then she's like, what the fuck is the problem? I thought this is what you wanted. It's your birthday. And
you're like, shut the hell up, I just got this fucking airship. Now I can beat Final Fantasy IV.
Yeah. And I just came.
Enjoy that. Well, I think like that is the holy grail, but I don't think people realize that the hurdle is multitasking.
Yeah.
It's not that the holy grail is not this happening, because like you said, like that will fail immediately. You get a novice in that situation that does not know how to multitask, and the holy grail all of a sudden becomes just this ankh of horror. Like, it's an amulet that brings nothing but ruin. It's no,
it's like Logan's Run.
Yes, that old movie exactly from the 70s. Exactly.
Why is it like that?
there was an like ankh. I don't know.
There was an ankh. Was it an ankh? I thought it was like
they had the jewels in their hands.
Yeah,
I don't remember an ankh.
You turned 30 and you went and floated up and died. And
yeah, they make you explode with the shitty fireworks.
And then you met a descendant of Abraham Lincoln or something. I don't know. Something like that.
And then they actually all lived inside of a poorly converted like motel.
Yes.
Slash shopping mall area.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was going to say it looked like a shopping
mall. It was very weird.
Yeah.
Very weird. And then there was like that super strange like rapey scene where he shows up at the lady's house and he's like, let's have sex now. And she's like, no. And he's like, no, let's have sex. And she's like, still no. And then he gets all upset. I don't understand. I say let's have sex, people have sex with me. I'm leaving. And that's like a significant portion of the movie.
It's just, like
movies from the 70s
a quandary.
Suck.
Why did this just give it a quandary of why this woman will not have sex with him?
Yeah, oh, he's so mad. Basil Exposition from Austin Powers stars in that movie.
What about Star Wars?
He is Logan.
Yeah,
okay, Star Wars. Star Wars transcends gender. Gender.
does.
Gender.
What do you think that Wookiee's got?
Genre.
Nobody knows.
Genre and time is what I was going to say.
Jean.
Also gender. It's got dicks and vaginas and tentacles.
Is Apocalypse Now in the 70s? Apocalypse Now was in the 70s. That was fucking amazing. Was it one of Cooper movies in the 70s?
The 70s sucking is the rule, not the exception.
And then there's exceptions.
Yeah.
What the actual fuck were we talking about? This beer is really good, by the way.
I'm enjoying this as well.
The Märzen.
The Märzen.
It's got the umlaut.
The umlaut sounds like an E, so it's Märzen.
Märzen?
Oh.
Yeah. Resident German expert.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a resident of Germany.
You are a podcast resident German expert.
Just wanted to be clear there.
You're also a resin expert.
So slowly the podcast will evolve into a German learning experience.
Now we play the Oompa.
We play the Oompa. We play the Super Nintendo with the Oompa.
Okay, so German connection. Okay. Who's the director that directed like all of the Resident Evil movies? He's terrible. Never mind.
Hans.
Good talk.
Hans.
He's German. It's just German Hans. Dude. He makes video game movies. Right. Go.
The Resident Evil movies?
All right, and he's not good?
I didn't say he was good. I just said he's German and he makes video games.
Oh, he was making a segue.
Gotcha.
Well, not even a segue.
Not even one of those.
No.
It's more just like a mention. Vehicle. Like an aside.
I got on my segue and I backed over a cliff. Just like the guy.
Like that one guy that did that thing that you said.
George W. Bush. No, did he like drive it into people?
No.
How did he?
He like fell on his ass or something while trying to ride a Segway.
He was so dumb and he was our president. So dumb.
I feel like there probably had to be an equally dumb person somewhere back in the presidential woodpile.
Oh, God, yes.
But
the presidential woodpile, I like that.
But I don't know.
Hot in the woodshed.
What was the president who died in like 30 days in office? Not necessarily dumb, but just kind of like, yeah. But it was like 18.
Who's that?
1870s. So it's like, oh, I got the death sentence.
If I only had the internet on my
phone. Well, he lived past 35, so he lived a long, full life.
Yeah.
And I turned the internet off on the computer.
Yeah, it's probably
internet anywhere.
Yep.
Because that's what's recording us.
So, virtual console.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get through this.
And how it's going to, you can upgrade your stuff for relatively cheap. I think the going price is...
It's like $2. Like, if you already had the game, is that what you mean?
But standard cost, like, if you did not already have the game, I think it's actually like 8 or 10.
Yeah, 8 or 10. Yeah. I was going to say that's pretty typical virtual console stuff.
So, anyway, I'm excited about that. I'm excited for hopefully all of my favorites from Nintendo 64 days to come forward. I'm not hopeful for the more obscure things like Mischief Makers or Buck
was
Bumble.
That really? Was Mischief Makers obscure?
Wait, I feel like
was that a Rareware title? I can't remember.
I don't think it was Rare.
Because I was going to say, if it was, then you're going to have all the licensing issues now.
Yeah, I don't think it was Rare.
Does that mean we're not going to see Conker's Bad Fur Day?
You are not.
I don't think we are.
You are not.
Sadly.
I have physical copies of Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie for my wife, who adores those games.
They're great games.
But yeah, because she was like, oh, let's get them from the store. And I was like, wait, they're not here. That's really dumb. Those were super popular. And then I was like, I looked it up. I was like, oh, that's right. Microsoft owns Rare now. Yeah. And like, you can't get like, so all the, like, they got the new Killer Instinct and everything.
They just said,
back and forth with.
Which seems weird because you'd think that Microsoft would want to make money anywhere.
Right.
And so, yes, Nintendo gets some money.
It's not a huge investment. Like, I mean... What are they? They're not like losing much if they're to say like, oh yeah, you can have this back library and we get X percent of the royalties. More than likely, it's Nintendo saying no. Like Nintendo saying like, nope, we don't give. Like we from our shop, we will get the royalties. Mm-hmm. Like we get this, kind of like the Google Play or Apple's App Store will do, where it's X amount to the developer, X amount to the App Store, and that's how it goes. And it's like it's not shared outside of that. So it's probably Nintendo. Like we're not going to push revenue sharing to it.
Just so we're
on the
clear.
Developed has the internet.
Mischief Makers, developed by Treasure, and published by Enix.
That's right.
So
forgot about that.
Dang it! I just lost it. In Japan, it was known as UK Troublemakers. Double exclamation point!
Of course, you gotta shout it.
And then you have to hold your fingers up to your eyes like you're doing the peace sign.
V for victory.
The V for the victory. Yeah.
So I'm hopeful that the semi-obscure games. Also, like, my favorite game, even though it falls down in a few places, Ogre Battle 64.
Yeah.
You'll probably hear me mention that several times over the course of however long
that was a great game. This, like, the Ogre Battle games are amazing. And they're very difficult to acquire because if you want the original cartridge, they're very costly.
I realize, as I said, that Ogre Battle 64 was unlikely to come to the Wii Virtual Console. I now realize that it's already on the Wii Virtual Console, and I have it, and have played it, and I did not remember
that. Get the hell out of here. I'm
just going to drink this beer over here.
God damn it.
Drink till you forget.
Yeah.
Too late. That's
how it works. Good catch, by the way. James almost knocked over his mic, caught it, remained drinking his beer, which you're hearing right now.
Not all that well, but...
So, we should probably say one of the goals of this podcast is actually, as time goes on, as we figure ourselves out, is to have informed discussion. We're going to come to the table, like, half in the bag, which, I mean, I want to have, half in the bag, informed discussion where, you know, it's like, I got a little tipsy, but I read a shit ton about this before we came to it, so.
Well, that was...
We're doing a lot of guesswork here.
Yeah, that was, the idea, and then this week happened, and so then all that other stuff that we got prepared didn't happen, so.
That was terrible.
Yeah. So anyway, that's me. I am a fan of the Virtual Console. I think that Nintendo has extreme potential to make it great.
Yeah.
And I am wicked looking forward to what comes out of there.
The idea of keeping games alive. Like, there's a lot to be said about what is a part of artistic, not just entertainment history, but like a part of artistic history, having that. But whether people who grew up with it, this is what we played, oh, I want to go back and play it, or other generations kind of coming up and seeing the games as how they started and how they evolved. For me, it's even still to this day, if I go back and it's like, oh, I never played, like you guys know, I just started playing the Metroid series recently, like honestly within the last year, maybe a little bit more, maybe year and a half, because I just kept hearing like, everybody loves this, I never really touched this game, never really played it, went back, played the NES version, and was like, holy shit, this is, I could even placing myself when this game came out, if I had having an NES at that point, if I had Metroid and I threw that in, I remember playing it as a kid, but I was like, I don't really know what's going on, but if I had sat myself down in front of it and would have just gone through it, it would have been an amazing experience. Like, it says so much by saying so very little. It does a lot more communication in how it's presenting itself to you. The music, oh God, thinking of Metroid, the music in that was absolutely astounding.
It was like synth heaven.
It really was, and it was creepy and ambient. Mm-hmm. It was like listening to a Brian Eno album, and I didn't even know who Brian Eno was, when I was a kid. And having this ability here, it's like, oh, I can go back and play my favorites, and also the ability, whether you're old or you're young, to go back and see, like, this is a piece of art from this time frame. This was something that somebody worked, like, or a group of people, like, literal blood, sweat, and tears. Like, you think you read all the stories behind these games, and you see like, oh yeah, there's like three of us, and we didn't get paid for 5 months, and we scrimped together all of this, and we worked 15 hours, 18, 20 hours a day, and we cut it out, and it became this game, and it became this this what is known like an empire now,
right,
of games, and like look back as one of the greatest achievements, and the ability to access that and play it going forward. I'm super excited about it. I'm very glad that Sony does that kind of stuff with PlayStation Network. I'm very glad that Nintendo has a very big focus to it. Not to say that Microsoft doesn't either. Like, they'll have some classics in there, but they don't have the backward reach for it. But
I think another thing too is I think you kind of touched on is the experience is totally different.
Yeah.
Like, you play a modern game that's whatever, a huge sandbox.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is totally different than a linear 2D
yeah.
jump and shoot kind of game
yeah.
like Metroid.
Yeah. Metroid was like, here you go.
There's a different skill set that's
you start, required. Yeah. You start out, you can go left or you can go right.
Yeah.
Go left first, because then you get the Mario ball thing
or whatever.
What's that?
Isn't it like you get a life boost or something?
That's
when you actually get the morph ball.
Oh, right.
So then you can actually, because if you go right, then you're like, how I can't through here. Why doesn't Metroid crawl?
I think also if we look at it on a lot more shallow level, just the accessibility of having, like, you just have now added all these old games to your library that you would not otherwise have been able to play on your game, going from all those old cartridge-based systems to a disc-based system.
Exactly.
Not being able, you know, it's just, like, for one of the reasons why the PlayStation 2 was so successful for so long was because they were like, hey, we're going to take all of everything from PlayStation 1 days and keep it going here on PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
And then people were super stoked when the PlayStation 3 first came out, and they were all backwards compatible, and they're like, oh my god, how can PlayStation 3 lose? I can get all of my PS2 and PS1 games. And then Sony was like, ah, fuck that, that's too expensive.
Yeah, it's really expensive, and we probably chose a poor processor because nobody knows how to program for it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that just making that kind of stuff available to someone who maybe never had those older games or doesn't have access to an older console. But
even if you do have access, like you get a console, you build a console, like rebuild a console, or you get a Retron or something like that, getting that cartridge is going to be a massive investment.
Right.
$10 for Earthbound on the Wii U Virtual Console, $200 for the SNES cart on eBay.
Like that's the cost of your Wii U right there.
That exactly.
For that one
game. And I will state, like, that is a game, like, whether or not, if you walk away from it like, I fucking hated that game, fine, play that game. Everybody needs to play Earthbound. Everybody needs to experience it. And if you're just like, no, this was terrible, I hated it, that's cool, fine, you walk away from it. But most people are gonna be like, this was, what just happened?
It's really,
like, this
funny.
Is an emotion.
It's like,
oh, it's hilarious,
weird, and you get this weird emotional attachment.
It's a terribly emotional game. And like, and the backstory to it is, and how it was written and created.
Don't say too much. I'm
probably
he's gonna start weeping.
You will.
I mean,
I think another thing that should be pointed out too is you can play these games on a virtual console, but it's still going to be a different experience than plugging a cartridge in. And go as far as you can, and then you have to turn it off because your mom comes in the room and needs to vacuum, and you lose all your progress.
There is,
Or your mom walks up and says, "You've been playing long enough." Shuts it off. No!
Oh god, because everything has a save state. Like, you can just hit, go to menu, and then it's just, it's gonna leave it right there.
Yeah.
Well, like, my favorite way is still to play it on its original. That's one of the things why I like getting just like
the experience.
Like, busted console. I'm gonna rebuild this myself. I'm gonna find the cart, and I'm gonna play this from its original. I'm gonna mod it however I need to get on TV, like whatever RGB signaling I need to do, so I can like play it on a modern this, that, whatever. Because I love that feel, that tactile feel to it, where it's like, I have to get to a save point. This game didn't have a battery in it. I have to write down a passcode.
Right.
Or like you said, it's like you've been playing long enough, and the system is just shut off. You're like, no! And
or you could do what I was able to do, successfully succeed by doing this.
Succeed?
Yep. That was purposeful. Where I turn off the TV and then cover the power light on the Nintendo with something. Yeah. Like,
put something in the way of it. And just unplug it from the TV.
Unplug the controller and... Or, well, the way our TV was, it couldn't get at the cables in the back very easily. Yeah. So it was just, put something in front of where the power light was on the Nintendo itself so that it wasn't clear that it was turned on. And just hope that between when I went to bed and got up the next day, that no one would mess with the Nintendo. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that didn't work.
Come back to the flashing red light.
No, I never did. More often than not, like, my sister would come up and like put in a game that she wanted to play and said no, or my mom would find it, turn it off, and they'd be like, don't do that, you idiot. Like,
you stupid.
So
heartbreaking.
I hate you, mom. You're terrible, mom.
I think one of the greatest days was when I was old enough and I was allowed to have a TV in my room. And by the way, the TV was our old Commodore 64 monitor, which ended up being the best for video games because it had ridiculous inputs on it. Like, it had composite, because all the other TVs we had RF out, and so you always had to fuck with the channels and everything. It's like, and then it was like, oh, composite. It was like, this looks way better, and you know, obviously for a CRT at the time, it looked great. It's like, this looks way better. It was just our old Commodore 64 monitor. And like, you can have this in your room, and so it's like, I could, like, oh, everybody's super asleep. I could. My dad's an insomniac, but he's also deaf because he's an aircraft mechanic, so he can't hear shit. So I could actually play games like super way late at night, like, oh yeah, I'm totally in bed. Like, wait half an hour and then, like, and at least get myself to a save point or finish out what I wanted to do from that.
Right.
And that was, like, I think that was just one of my most favorite days when, like, we decided you can have a TV in your room. It's the only one we have right now is the old Commodore monitor. I was like, oh man, it's not a real TV. And then later on, I was like, this is the best thing ever because I had my Sega Genesis and my SNES hooked up to it.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I was so fucking happy. So fucking excited. Then I got an actual TV and I went downhill from there.
I had an actual TV in my room. I think my favorite memory was looking at the nudie channel, but it was still scrambled.
And you'd
catch 90s. Half of a boob.
Oh man, that is like the holy grail.
Yeah, I see one. Is that a squiggle?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that was a nipple. A whole one. All at once.
Yeah, all at once.
It was blue, but it's fine.
Kids these days.
That'll do.
Kids these days just get in stratification.
Oh yeah.
You fuckers.
Yeah, you sons of bitches. You don't know what struggles we had to go through.
3 feet of snow uphill both ways to see
just what might have been a tit. Scrambled.
Yeah, what might have been a boob. Because Brad says that he was getting a new scrambled channel because he had satellite. No, back when satellites were the size of an actual satellite that they would launch into space.
Or the real best thing was when you had a friend whose parents got one of those pirate boxes.
None of us ever had that.
I had a couple friends who had them. And
you must have had shady friends.
Oh yeah, the shadiest. I grew up in Gilroy.
There you go.
There you go. Channel 99 is where the porn is at on the pirate box.
It was always way up there.
99. That's the top channel. There's only 99.
The last two numbers that most tuners, because you didn't have 3-digit tuners. Like even the LEDs, the little multi-segment LEDs would only go up. Like you can have 2 digits.
Like the real channels go from like 1 to 40 or something, and then there's just 50 channels of nothing.
It could have been pay-per-view or HBO for whatever the rich kids had.
Yeah,
UHF.
Poor kids, it's like you got 1 through 40 is like the regular channels, and then you just skip right to 99. And if it's the right time, most of the time, nothing. If it's the right time, porn is happening.
You're starting to learn,
not scrambled. That's
wait, what? Seriously?
Yeah, like real this porn, was like box? Skinamax kind of situation.
Oh, real soft core.
Oh yeah,
romantic porn.
So this is people romantic. With the boxes though. Is what you're saying? Like people with like
the pirate boxes.
Oh okay, because they did like their whole point was to get HBO and Cinemax and everything.
Yeah,
and Showtime.
Yeah,
and Blow Time. Nobody blowed each other.
Always Blow Time.
Nobody blowed. That's the.
Got blowed.
That got
blowed. It was BLO apostrophe D.
Yeah. Mm. Blowed. Got blowed.
Danny's looking it up right now.
Got bloat?
Bloated. Should I?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to.
Bloat. It's a grammatically correct podcast. Bloat. Apostrophe D.
All right. Well, that's enough about that bullshit.
Yeah.
Ian, for that. Let's move on to some dumb thing that you want to talk about.
So yeah, I mean this is a little bit slightly older topics, but I wonder from what we were thinking the other day. This bummed me out. This hardcore bummed me out. So last week it was announced so the media is obviously announcing it. There's a delay in the new Zelda for Wii U. Everybody's heart sinks. Every Zelda fan.
Is it Epona? Is Epona the problem?
I think so. It's like just programming all those muscles in HD.
Yeah. In the flowing mane.
In that flowing mane, that sinewy horse. this is the
bit they need to get it
bestiality
right.
Podcast.
They need to take the time, get it right.
Yeah. So the actual Onuma, the producer of the game, actually came out, like, did a specific video for this to announce this, like, posted on Nintendo's Facebook. He was basically stating, hey, as we've been developing this, we've been finding new things that we can do. We've been finding new possibilities. So get that shit on microphone. We're opening more beers, everybody. Or Märzen.
I derailed you. Grab one. Märzen.
Damn it. Yeah, I'll grab it. I'm gonna grab a beer. But I'll finish this, guys. I'm gonna finish my log anyways. Was like, so yeah, we've been developing this. We've been finding new potentials of things to do from here. And we don't want to limit ourselves to a release time frame. we want to keep exploring these possibilities. So 2015, probably not going to see Zelda, which was like, oh, that's crushing. Like, it's, you know, the fan in me is kind of like, that's crushing. I was really hoping to be able to play that game this year, but it might not happen. But okay, I believe them, because I feel like they believe themselves. Like, there's no way actually finding stuff from here, so I'll let this happen. Yeah, he posted onto their Facebook, had this video, like, we've discovered some things while we've been, thank you, James, while we've been developing some new potential, some new areas that we can explore, and we want to do that, so we're not going to limit ourselves to a 2015 time frame, which, like, I want to believe them for that. I think that's a really cool thing. I know from a marketing perspective, like, it's a game delay. It's like, some people may look at it as like, oh, they can't figure this out, they can't do this out, whatever. But if it's a pot, like, whether or not it's a spin, if, or if it's just like, there might have been some negative to it, like, if they're taking a look at this and saying, we want to make more out of this, and we want to do better things with this, okay, cool. But I'm super bummed that it's not going to be out in 2015. The even worse news came this week when they announced, or there was the kind of the indication that, because Danny and I were talking about this a little while ago, it's like, okay, so they're not going to be doing Zelda Wii U in 2015. They're probably going to be like, that's going to be their love song at E3, though. Like, E3 is going to come around and they're going to be like, so it's not going to be out this year, but here's what's happening and here's how awesome it is and how great it's going to be. They've announced that they're not going to be doing any sort of announcement at E3. Like, there's going to be no...
Your dog's very upset
by this. I know. My dog is super upset.
She's bummed out.
Come over here. I'm getting a look. Any Husky owners out there, you know.
One thing I do like about Nintendo is that they understand their audience and they understand that people trust them. And they usually deliver.
Yeah. Yeah.
On products. Especially their first party, like...
Their first party stuff. Like, their QA is... phenomenal. Like, the ideas are always fantastic, whether or not, like, you might be a fan of a particular game or not. It's always solid when it comes through. Like, there's very little patchwork that has to be done to it whatsoever.
I think that this is actually a fairly topical situation right now, where so many current gen games are coming out practically unfinished. You know, there was that Assassin's Creed game that just came out where it had a shitload of graphical issues, yeah, and glitches, and yeah, people were like losing their minds. And then, like, so there's been several games like that, I feel, in this past year that have come out. They've been big titles that were widely hyped and
turned out to meet a date.
Yeah, yeah, they were like, oh my god, we said we were going to ship in August, so if it doesn't come out in August, then we're screwed.
Yeah, you know? So, exactly.
And, you know, it wasn't ready, but they pushed it out anyway, yeah, and like, day one patches are a big source,
yeah,
point, I feel like, which for is, gamers, where you launch this game and, oh hey, have fun downloading your 4-hour update, yeah, that everyone else is trying to download, yeah, right now.
Exactly.
So,
which is frustrating, because a lot of developers that are even doing this stuff have been around since the cart days, where, yeah, it's like, you don't have the option of a patch. Like, you have...
Get it right the first time.
Get it, yeah, right the first time. You might be able to do later on, like, a version 1.1 that's a silent roll to the public, like a slight change to the carts there, but you have to do it right the first time, because we're building chips that do this one thing, that play this game.
Right.
And like James said, you're like, you gotta get it right the first time. You might be able to do a silent roll revision of something, but other than that, it's like, if you screw this up, you're fucked.
Yeah,
like, you're totally fucked. And
then it's ET cartridges in a dump,
in a landfill.
Yeah, in a landfill. Which is really interesting. I've been reading a lot of stuff about that lately, and from a game perspective, like, a lot of people are like, well, hold on, the game was actually good. It just was incomplete. Like, they had a lot of cool ideas for it, but
they didn't get their stuff right. Oh, do this in 6 weeks. Time.
Oh, sure.
Because it was driven by marketing, right?
Yeah, it totally was.
The movie's coming out. We got to get the game out.
Yeah, they're trying to synchronize it with, like, the release of the movie. But I feel like Nintendo still has that old mentality of the cart idea of, like, we do this right the first time. It has to be perfect. It's a very strict sense of, this game has to be polished, this game has to be functional, this game has to be working, when we release it to the public. If there's a patch, it's going to be something very minimal for a super, super tiny, like a bug that we did not see in any sort of testing and is happening at large, you know, once multiple millions of people are playing it,
right,
et cetera, et cetera.
I think that that actually ties in pretty well to one of the other things I wanted to talk about, which is Nintendo's approach to DLC.
Yeah.
And I think it goes along very well with their philosophy as it applies to, you know, patching their games or releasing updates. I mean, obviously now with everything being so connected to the internet, it's I've noticed a lot more updates on my 3DS or on my Wii U games. But one, they're not huge patches, and two, they're not super frequent, just more often than you might have seen previously.
Ian's dogs are now humping each other right now.
My dogs, my two female dogs, one of them a full-grown 3-year-old husky, and the other, she's a rescue, we're guessing around 16 weeks. 3-year-old is humping the 16-week-old. That's how it goes around here. Now she's mad at us because we didn't let her hump anymore. I don't know. I don't know. Why are you mad, Maggie? We're keeping this. We're staying in.
This staying. Dog humping is a segment we should always have.
Like, I would say that that would be a pillar of this show. Dog humping.
One of one pillars that this show is built on is dog humping.
The pillar.
The glue that holds together the gears of our show.
Why would you want to hold your gears together?
It was a Simpsons quote.
You are such a stupid piece of... I'm going back to drinking my beer now.
That's good. That's a good idea. You should do that. Yeah, I mean, like, sorry to make this Super Nintendo heavy, but like they're just very smart at doing DLC. Like, they're doing the Mario Kart 8 update. Like, here's DLC. It's free, and you get 200cc, so we're adding more difficulty to it if you want to play.
When they have, for like a couple of bucks, you can get a whole new set of courses. I think they give you like 2 new cups.
Right. And the reviews from that are like, they're not like, it's not just some cheap like pasted on course. It's like, these are full, like, it is, well thought out things. This is just an enhancement to the game.
It's like 4 or 8 new courses, and then you get like 3 new racers.
Yeah.
For just a couple of bucks, you get a significant increase in the amount of stuff that you can do in the game. And then
in the background, you're also hearing dogs wrestling now. We stopped humping. We just moved to wrestling directly beneath.
Pretty much all background noise in this episode brought to you by Ian's dogs and the super cool kids playing their drums next door whilst having a party.
Yeah. Super cool offbeat drums. And James fart chair.
And like, kind of tying in with the DLC, I think Nintendo's doing something cool with the Super Smash Brothers DLC now, where they're going to be releasing new costumes and new characters for, you know, the costumes are, I don't know, I think it's something like 50 to 75 cents or something.
Yeah,
if you really want a different costume for your character.
Yeah.
They're going to be bringing back like old Smash Bros. Characters from previous games that didn't make it into the original release of the Wii U Smash Bros.
Yeah.
You know, some like fan favorites and stuff. And then they also started a really cool thing to kind of tie into that, where there's a website where you can go name some old video game character, any video game character you want, and what game title they appeared in, and then you have 500 words to say why that character deserves to be in Smash Bros.
Yeah.
And so it's just this free form. Anyone can say...
That was when a bunch of people were voting, like Corey Baxter or something. Like,
something like that. I saw a bunch of people voting for Hitler from Wolfenstein.
Oh, God. I knew that would be happening.
Was that ever on a Nintendo platform?
I don't think so.
No.
I feel like no.
No. Well, at least not an American release. I think if it would be
any of the battle, like a Japanese only release for
what I'm thinking is like it's like if you look sometimes like look at Castlevania on the Famicom and then you look at the Castlevania on Nintendo where it's like if there's a cross or any sort of religious imagery, it's removed from the North American variant. But then you go play on the Famicom and it's just like Jesus hanging upside down and we're gutting him right there.
Yeah,
because we didn't want any religion or any like we don't want to offend any religion in here, so it might just have like like if a coffin had a cross on it, it would just be replaced with like an RIP or something like that. So, so if anything, if there's a Hitler, it's going to be in a Japanese release.
But we they were friends, right?
Hitler. Yeah, they were
Japan cool. And Hitler.
Yeah, all I mean, of Japan was bros with Hitler.
Yeah.
I learned that in like history class.
Everyone. Oh. Yeah. Just like they all fist bumped.
Yeah. They just lined up in a row, and Hitler drove in his little Hitler Jeep. He was just like,
James, Ina Fisten Bumpin'? Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah, that's
I think it's
Bumpin'.
Yeah. Huh? I think it's Bumpin'.
Fisten Bumpin'?
Das ist nur Umlaut.
Yes,
das ist nur Umlaut. Keine Umlaut.
I took French.
I took Spanish. Gilroy.
That's your art.
He can sell the shit out of some
Soulard, like the St. Louis French neighborhood.
Soulard. Yeah.
Gilroy. Soulard.
Okay.
Oui. Oh, oui. That's the sound of Danny fighting off my puppy as he's trying to bite him. But we all want her to bite him. Because well, she got you good, didn't she? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and puppy teeth.
Damn, man.
Come here.
They got needle teeth.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, gosh.
Stabbed real good.
Oh, Lord. Old Nintendo, though.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Nintendo we're talking about this week.
Yeah, I mean, it might be kind of heavy for that, but, you know what, so be it. I mean, on top of this, like, if we want to, like, look at some other things, like, big thing to check out right now is, like, Sony Spring Sale, because it's been fucking awesome. Like, they've had Ali Ali 2, Hotline Miami, super cheap on, like, PSN, like new releases and everything for it, yeah. And they're just ridiculously awesome and addicting games, so... anybody have an Xbox? Do any of us have an Xbox? An X-Bone?
I have
Xbox
previous, One. I know what they look like.
I have a 360 in the to-be-fixed shelf over there.
I've previously owned both an original Xbox and 360, and then eventually sold both of them.
Is she biting your crotch?
She's trying to, I think.
I've trained her to do that. I have pictures of you around my
destroy
house.
Destroy his penis.
Bite the penis! Just goes straight for the dick. Yeah. And then that's all it is. It's just poorly drawn pictures of you, and if she bites anywhere else, I just say no, and then
no,
she
that's when right you shock her with like 500 volts.
I'm not cruel, Danny. I just trained my.
It's not the volts; it's the amps that gets you.
That's a thing. partial credit. No, but then, like, if she just bites the dick, then she gets a bunch of treats. Like, a bunch of treats.
Like, all of the treats.
Like a
when I say
stick?
Treat, it's, no, it's like a steak.
Like,
steak dick.
Steak, yeah.
That's why I said a bully stick. A steer's stick. Penis.
It is.
A dried up steer's penis.
It's just dried up, and then the dogs are like, yay! And
I
like,
love this! I need a lot of water.
Yeah. I'm so thirsty.
Nothing drives a thirst like eating a bull's penis.
Like eating it, like eating a wiener.
Just
I remember,
chomping it down.
I remember growing up, my friend's dad like
ate bull penis.
I'm no. Real curious to
wanted,
see where this is going.
Wanted the bull penis. So yeah. The long story.
So
was,
bad. He wanted it so bad.
The long the story. The bull is my folks knew people. They had some friends whose parents owned a farm in like southern Missouri. And they're like, oh, we're just going to, they're getting ready to do their slaughter and everything. Like, we're buying a side of beef. Do you want, like, it's my folks, so we just pay them.
How
like
much this. For the dick?
Blah, blah, blah. So it's like, oh, we're splitting. Yeah, it's like, well, we'll split a cow, literally. And
you ain't going to chop that dick in half, are you?
Well, then the other funny part of the story was like, oops, my dad was actually like, oh, yeah, so a cow for each of you. So they each got, they didn't get a side of beef, they got two sides of beef. Like, they got an entire cow. And my dad's buddy was like, can I have the penis?
And cows don't
my dad penises. My dad's still like, when he destroys, oh. Sorry, it was the bull's penis. So he's like, can I have the penis? And so he's and my dad's like, the way he tells this story is like, he still has this perplexed look of,
Why?
What are you gonna do with
and
it?
The guy just goes like, I just want to make a cane out of it. Like, I just want to have a bull dick cane and just be walking up and down the street with that. Aircraft mechanics, ladies and gentlemen. Keeping your planes in the air.
And your dick's on the ground.
Your dick's on the ground, keeping you level, because they're your walking stick now.
Your walking dick.
Your walking dick. Bring me my walking dick. I actually wouldn't mind one of those.
Boy can dream.
I will right now.
Let's reflect on
carry that. On, you guys. I'm going to dream.
All right, let's move on from.
Well, I mean, yeah, we were talking about. Speaking of, like, this is super Nintendo heavy, which is totally fine, and we've been going backwards a little bit with this. James, you found this and sent us this video a little while ago of the, I think it was the lead animator of Robot Chicken. He's obviously involved in a myriad of other projects as animators are, but like the most famous project he's on is Robot Chicken, and he has modified a Nintendo Power Glove to be his controller for his stop motion studio.
Yeah, I would highly encourage everyone to watch the video because it's funny and
we'll have a link nostalgic. To it. We'll have a link to it in the show notes.
But yeah, he was constantly walking around the studio with a Bluetooth keyboard and it wasn't attached to his person. And he has this great love of the Power Glove and its introduction to the public via a Fred Savage movie.
Which is so weird. Like, when they brought that up in the video, I was like, that's right. Like, that was kind of a marketing conjunction.
It was a staple of my childhood, too. Yeah. It was like, Fred Savage and this is the Power Glove and I'm gonna go play fucking Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
And
Both of which were, like, brand new.
Yeah.
Like, this was, they came out in sync, right? With like, this movie was also like a marketing tool for it. This segment is brought to you by dogs fighting.
Thank you, Michael Vick. But anyways, yeah. Repurposed a Power Glove. Disassembled it. Made some new guts. Yeah. Reassembled it. And he uses it to control the shots that he takes. Filming stop motion animation.
The only bummer that I had was like they talk about when he actually dogs are humping again. Everybody, dogs are humping! Yay! Yay.
Serious grunting.
Oh yeah. But the only part that bummed me out was like when he was kind of conjuring the idea. Somebody he worked with on the set was like, "Oh yeah, my husband's an electrical engineer," and he had already done some research and then talked to this lady's husband. He was like, "Oh yeah, you can do XYZ and we can figure this all out," and they didn't get into the guts of it, and I was really hoping they would. I was like, "Well, what
it wasn't a tutorial on how to build your own
right and glove, like and the
Bluetooth controller for stop motion
the buddy animation. Like the electronics love in me, like the engineering love in me was like, "What did you do? What microcontroller did you use? A microcontroller? Like exactly how did you go about building this?" Because like I have the concept in my head as well, like, what did this particular guy have in there, like what ingenious things did he do? The dogs are actively attacking James right now.
Dude. It's really only one dog.
This podcast will get off the ground whether attack of dog, whether neighbors being loud and terrible at rhythm. So help us, Satan.
We are bringing this horribly...
Your baby dog's teeth are so sharp.
Oh, ow! Puppy teeth?
Puppy teeth are like needles. So the best part about the Power Glove,
yeah, anyways, yeah,
is that there's a pressure sensor on the front that says,
I think it's fuck yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he can fist bump.
So he fist bumps somebody,
yeah,
and then the Power Glove says fuck yeah,
fuck yeah.
I would want to have one that said fuck you,
yeah,
when I fist bump someone.
When you hold up your middle finger, fisting someone.
Yeah. When I'm double fisting someone with both
two power gloves.
Yeah, yeah.
Super green. Did they make left and right-handed power gloves, or were they all right-handed?
I'm pretty sure they were all right-handed.
Were they Una?
No.
Were they ambidextrous? Mm,
no, there's a thumb.
Humans have thumbs.
Right, but I didn't know.
What is
it? As far as products go, I think they made one product, but I don't know if it can move.
It wasn't the power bracer, Ian. It's the power glove. Okay.
It wasn't the power gauntlet.
Oh, although gauntlets still have gloves built in, right? They still have fingers.
Yeah, but I mean, you can use a right glove on the wrist.
That's a bracer. Is that a bracer thing?
Sorry, let me get my spectacles out.
Danny, what is Warhammer?
Hey,
where are you fucking? Is it intense or
camp? Some kind of camping equipment.
You can all blow me simultaneously. Although, actually, not simultaneously. I only have one dick, so just line up and you can.
You're not that dude from Reddit.
Sadly, no.
Would you have two? If
I had the option, would I?
Yeah. If
I don't think I would.
If some sort of genie or a dark lord were to appear to you right now and offer you this, like, you'd have to exchange some sort of servitude or something to him. We'll go with dark lord. Because that's just way cooler.
I'm not really sure that there's all that much benefit to it.
Yeah. If I had to, I would have a boyfriend and a girlfriend.
You just like...
I just would.
You just go both ways, yeah.
Mm. I mean, you can.
This one's yours and that one's yours. Don't mix up the two!
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, if I already had the two, for sure, but... I don't think I would wish for two.
What's holding you back from it?
Holding back your dreams?
My dreams of not having two dicks?
Yeah. Your dual dick dreams. What's keeping you from it?
I don't know. I'm not seeing the benefit. Like, if you guys had the option to get... Hey, let me just add on a second dick for you. What benefit do you see?
At least same size and functionality?
Let's just say it's like...
My answer is an immediate yes.
Okay, why?
I
have two hands. Fit worse right from the get-go. First problem I see.
My argument is I have two hands, so I should have two penises.
There's one argument.
What about the balls?
I'm also... I think that could be a thing. So I'm also wondering... This could be a mechanical question, too.
The logistics
I'm
also wondering, are confusing.
Like, if one is done, can I just move to the other? Like, can I... It's just like...
On the balls, right? If you have two balls or four balls.
Yeah, that's really... Like, and really? Which testicles connect to which dick is really going to matter, because like, look, if they both draw from the same source and you blow your wad,
however that's also very hormonally based. So it's like, you could have, like, it might not be as impressive as the first wad, but you could have a second wad. You could be up and ready for like number two.
All right.
But
it'd have to be a rage wad.
Yeah, you gotta be angry for it.
All right, here's the real question. Let's say you have two.
Yeah.
Do you do them top and bottom or side by side?
Ooh, that's the real question.
That's the question.
It depends on if you have a lady with a vagina that are side by side, right?
Well, okay, let's assume that you're with a lady that only has a single vagina.
If it's the brown and the pink.
I was gonna say, if brown and pink is cool, then you want top and bottom.
But what if it's not cool? Then I think you're in bad shape no matter
then
which
you
way
you go. You rotate.
I think you go bottom.
It spins?
I think if it's top and bottom, you go bottom in, and then the top kind of just like sits on the outside.
Just kind of...
Yeah, kind of stimulating, you know.
I don't know. That works.
The
I don't know. James is the only one of us here with kids. He peed inside of his wife, and now he has kids.
Weed.
You weed in a girl.
He weed in a lady.
So the other one would just be like on top,
just kind of stimulating,
just kind of rubbing around
the outside lady portions.
So physiological question.
Like a meal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, hey, lady portions.
Your dog just bit my finger.
Yeah, she does that.
But I was slapping her face, so I kind of...
That's also
it.
Yeah, I mess around with her too. Puppies. So physiological question. Does climax mean both of them fire? Like both dicks just like splooge?
I think all these questions have been answered.
With two dicks who did an AMA on Reddit.
This
for real happened.
No science journal. It's a fucking...
It's not an AMA.
Yep. That's all the truth I need for my internet news. Thank you very much.
American Journal of Medicine is just like, no, fuck it. Just go read Reddit.
It was an AMA, but it wasn't from the AMA Journal Association.
Yeah. And Ask Me Anything.
Association.
Not an American Medical Association.
Journal. No, not that.
No, they didn't do that.
Your dog's angry.
My dog's very angry. Because she's not in a different spot from where she wants to be. Mm-hmm. That's all right.
Look, I want to lay down on a different piece of floor. This piece of floor is unacceptable.
I'm totally tired of this. And I think it's like... So, about my dogs, they're probably more set in their ways than we are as people. Like, it's bedtime. No joke. For locally, as we were recording, it is 9:42 p.m. That is fucking bedtime. Like, dogs are like, why the hell aren't we in our bed, i.e. my bed, taking up my space?
Laying all over your legs.
Yeah. They'll lay in my spot. They'll lay in my side, and then, like, they'll look sad when I'm like, I gotta lay here. And they're like, you're an asshole. And then they like
kind of
like
you're the
leader.
My ass.
Yeah, like, and then they kind of like saunter, like barely move over from it, and so I gotta like wedge my way in.
My dog is nice and small, so I can just like shove her out of the way when I come to bed. I basically just drop her on top of my wife and like claim my side.
Do you have to deal with that?
All the time.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew he was. I have a 67-pound mutt. Who lays all over the place.
He's just like, I'm gonna lay
here. He's kind of lanky too, so yeah. I'm sure that when he lays down, he kind of stretches out.
It's like a pretzel dog. It's all wrapped up. I don't know how, which feet belong where, front, back, doesn't matter. I don't know. I don't get it.
So.
My dog has this particularly annoying habit where she likes to wake me up in the middle of the night because she crawls between my wife and I and then proceeds to like stiff arm my balls. At like 3 a.m. with both of her front feet just pow, right in the balls, super stiff arm style. It's pretty great. It happens all the time, and I'm just oh man, it's so bad.
It's like that. It's
dog.
Like, but so yeah, Power Glove. just makes me like seeing something like that. Like it's inspiring because then it's like I want that to do everything. Like, our houses are becoming, you know, the Internet of Things. Like, everything's been controlled. Like, here at the house, I have a Nest and a drop cam and a Nest Protect. And we're renting right now, but, like, the wife and I are set. Like, when we own a house, we're going to automate the absolute fucking shit out of this thing. Like, I want to walk in, and IFTT is like, oh, you're home. I'm going to make sure that these particular lights come on. And this,
hello,
this, this.
Ian.
Yeah, hello. It's like, I'm totally fine with Skynet running my house. Absolutely fine with that. But it's like, what other cool thing? Like, I feel like there's so many cool things I could do with the power. It would be purely ornamental, I feel like, the things that I would be doing with it. But, like, what would I control with my Power Glove? What would you guys do?
It'd be like Minority Report.
Like, you could sense a crime ahead of time?
Yeah, you could sense a crime ahead of time. You like, can move things around.
And also,
Also, Tom Cruise. Those are my mother has eyes. My mother has eyes.
My mother has eyes?
Yeah, I don't know what that meant.
I think that was supposed to be a joke about how his eyes get pulled out of his head surgically and changed with
By the Russian movie, guy from Armageddon.
I'm a fan of the movies that Tom Cruise is in. I'm not a fan of Tom Cruise.
I think that most people would probably agree with that statement.
My wife hates him. Like, all of these, like, I'll go into it as like, oh, Last Samurai was, I mean, Tom Cruise sucked, but Last Samurai was awesome.
I feel like most
Mission Impossible 7.
Most people would probably get on board with the statement of Tom Cruise is a great actor, but he's a fucking shit human being. And
I'm just kind of like, he's there, he's acting a part, whatever.
Yeah,
like there. But like that movie just had what it, like in The Land of the Blind, the one-eyed man is king. That was like such a metal quote. Like that was like, and it's the guy who has no eyes, mm-hmm. who's selling Tom Cruise the eyes, and he's like, in The Land of the Blind, the one-eyed man. You finally see like he just has sockets as opposed to actual eyeballs.
They're having a good old drunken drum circle kind of an extravaganza happening.
Absolutely fine, but just...
If they could just shut the fuck up for the couple hours that we're trying to record the podcast,
so many first world problems right here.
I'm saying.
I know, it's terrible.
I have enough to eat. I have a house over... roof over my house.
It's
a house over my house!
It's that fabled second roof that I've heard so much about. I think James has double roof money, okay? So you need to get on his fucking level.
James is rolling in roofs. It's not a grass ceiling. That's how that phrase goes, right?
Sure, yeah. Why not?
He's rolling in roofs. Also doing some roofies. That's why he's kind of passed out right now. Yeah. We should date rape him.
I think...
Does that mean you guys date first and then rape
the
me?
The
Or do you date me? Yeah, like we go out to a movie and enjoy a nice steak dinner. Yeah, Ian and I.
Yeah.
And then you roofie yourself... then we rape you.
It's our activity.
I'm for it.
Okay. Dinner, well, then maybe it's not raping so much with you being in favor of
it. I'm for it, but I don't consent.
I'm for it.
I don't consent wink is what you missed there, listeners.
There was a wink.
There was a definite totally wink. And then he mouthed the words, put it in my pooper. And then I nodded and gave him like a knowing
suggestively. Wink. Let the cord know.
Let
the record show that Danny nodded suggestively.
That's what we meant by all that.
Going to jail.
Going to jail.
Going to jail.
Going to jail.
Oh, Christ.
All right.
I don't even remember there. We were talking about Power Glove.
It was all started like 20 minutes
and
ago.
And fuck Tom Cruise. Power Glove.
And now Tom Cruise is a shit
and
ass.
And date rape.
Yeah, we've just been all over the map.
it's a big map. So.
Yeah, so might as well just keep going.
What are you going to do?
Well, all right. Well,
what's our send off?
I think I've been saying so a lot. I think the worst part about recording is you learn the things that you say very frequently.
The ums you say like, and the so's.
Like,
and the
so,
ahs.
And it's, see, right there. It's going to be terribly frustrating to go back and listen to all this and hear it. See, God damn it! Yeah. Like, now you notice it all the time.
So a little behind the scenes, we did a couple of like,
yeah,
pre-flight recording session.
They were almost better, so, I think.
You know what? Our first session has been the best.
Probably the best. We did just a crap of last week to kind of keep working on recording session. And it was pretty. But
it's actually pretty good. I feel like maybe we're a little too focused on like, oh my god, let's make sure that we stay on topic and stuff this time. Yeah.
I mean, it might be like as we're finding our voice, it might be kind of like we're gonna go the route of. We record an intro after we've gotten through all of this.
Yeah.
Because I like the idea. I want to have minimal edits to a podcast. I want it, like, I just want it to be like, this is free form. This is free discussion.
Because we're lazy.
Yeah. Super lazy. I just want to be like, GarageBand, export, done. Publish.
Make me some money.
Make money on this free ass podcast.
Wait, we're not making money off this?
We are not.
I have a degree in business. I know a lot about monetizing things.
I have a degree in philosophy. I don't know shit about monetizing things.
I'm just kidding. I don't know jack shit about monetizing things.
No, but we're not for profit. So it's like money would have
so
to
give
come
us money.
What's that?
Give us money. We're not.
We'll take donations, but
it's just beer money, really.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that is the state of, like.
Yeah, if you would like to buy us some beer, you could send us a tin.
You could send us a
tenner in an envelope and send it to PO Box 11111.
That doesn't exist. That's not real.
No,
that's
any town USA. You don't,
yeah,
there's probably going to be
any town USA.
Main Street, any town USA.
Yeah, we'll get it. Don't worry.
Probably. But it's I don't know. But yeah, we're not for. I mean,
is this like a revelation to anyone that we're not for profit? I mean, other than James?
God help us if it was incredible. If this was like a business venture, we would have already failed. All investors would have asked for their money back with interest. Oh. Like, we would literally be on fire. Like, actually on fire.
Like, they'd be stringing us up and setting us on fire.
Yeah. While we're already on fire.
Yeah. Like, they're adding fire to the fire.
Like, super fire. Like, we are
like Old Testament stuff.
Yeah. And locusts.
And there's like a river
God
made
hates
of blood
fags.
Or something.
Sounds pretty metal.
Yeah. Then there's just some dude with like a flying V black guitar.
Oh my god, that'd be awesome. Like that.
That's like not very metal.
It's a flying dove. No, doves
no,
are metal.
No, not so much.
So Danny, I didn't know. So the shirt that I'm wearing is of Satan, our Dark Lord. And
he's waving politely.
Yeah, he's waving. Oh,
he's very cordial.
My own argument is mythologically Satan is probably one of the most benevolent and like best characters figures out there. Like, just a great guy. He's a good guy. I wore this shirt,
Satan bro.
I was just like, oh, it's Friday. I'm just wearing a t-shirt because it's Friday, and I didn't realize it was Good Friday, and then I got to work, and a lot of people were like. Fucking awesome shirt, bro. Also really, really appropriate. And I was like, appropriate for what? And then somebody actually happened to say as a joke, like, well, this has not been a very good Friday. And then it hit me. I was like, oh, it's when we killed Jesus. Oh, shit. That's what today is.
We, like Ian was there.
Yeah, I was there. James, if I was there, I would have done it. I would have been like, yeah, fuck him.
Yeah.
Who is he preaching all this peace and love in the world?
Oh my god, peace and love. Did he even exist?
Well, I mean, you were there.
Right,
you tell me.
He's right there, asshole.
You just put him up on a cross.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Love thy neighbor. Fuck that guy. crucify him. I have a very low standard of when people should die.
Yeah, he still yells that nowadays.
Crucify like, him!
I took my parking spot. Crucify him!
The last Snickers bar. Crucify them! Stops the hunger, Danny.
All right.
Anyways.
So how do we wrap back to how do we wrap
Happy Easter,
how do we wrap
everyone.
This up? But I think we've learned a lot, and if you've listened to us, learning a lot, and I'm probably
thank you for terrible. Wasting your
yeah.
hour.
And thanks for wasting managed,
about an hour and a half. Right
if
now.
You have managed to stick with us for about an hour and a half, then I mean, first congratulations.
Yeah,
you can now probably successfully withstand torture.
Mm-hmm.
Waterboarding.
Waterboarding, definitely. This is akin to...
That's torture.
Also, you should probably get a life.
Yeah. I'm sorry that we have wasted the last 90 minutes of your life.
We're going
to
keep...
Like, if you're that guy sitting in traffic right now on your way to work, and you're like, hey...
That's a long commute.
Yeah, like, well, maybe he listened to the first half on his way to work, and then he didn't get enough punishment on the way to work or at work, and so on the way home, he listened to the second half.
Maybe feeling bad gets you off.
Yeah. Which, this hey, I'm podcast. Happy to supply...
Subscribe.
Your,
click that subscribe your, button in your app of choice.
Your
right
self-inflicted
now.
Pain. So, yeah.
But,
well...
To onward and upward.
I think that we need to close the way that we open.
Close the way we open. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
My name is Yinger. You can find me on Twitter at TheSpaceIan. And I'm joined by Mr. James Lambert.
Hello.
Hello. Whom you can find on Twitter at...
Doodoo Monster.
A doodoo monster. Also with me, the very robust and handsome Danny Gwynn, whom you can find on Twitter.
At curly underscore mustache. And no O in mustache.
And that's us, Ian.
It's a zero. There's an umlaut.
That's not true at all.
That's right, because you don't. There's no O in your. It's not mustache.
It's not mustache.
Mustache.
It's mustache.
Mustache.
It's spelled properly.
I must ask you. Like
it's
that.
Like gray and gray. Like the American way that's is with one. An A, and the European way is with an E.
Yeah.
Same.
How one. Do you spell USA?
E W E.
E S
with an A.
A Y E. Huh?
USI.
USI.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
So I think that's a good title. All right, well, we're gonna wrap up this beer and this whole thing. So I am Ian Greer. You can find me at The Space Ian. You can find James at Doodoo Monster. And you can find Danny Gwynn at curly underscore mustache, M-U-S-T-A-C-H-E.
It's complicated. Yep.
It's not complicated. You're making it complicated.
No. I'm making it. It's not. It is complicated because like here's how you spell mustache. Here's how you spell curly underscore mustache. That's complicated.
I really think that the typical spelling for mustache does
Twitter
not
handle.
Include an O.
Just the typical.
Just the typical.
Does it?
See if you like it.
I don't know. I feel like that. That's
all right. Let's just Google here. I'm gonna ask Siri how to say mustache.
Okay. How to say mustache?
Mustache.
That's a terrible.
Oh fuck you! How to spell it?
That's a terrible question. Siri, how do you say mustache? Mustache. Thank you, Siri. I appreciate you speaking
Siri
with language.
Mustache. Okay, it picked up Siri. Yeah. Go mustache, but it's spelled
wrong. Go mustache, right?
Oh god, it probably
would you like me to search the web?
Did it just find all the gay bars?
It did not, it couldn't find anything.
I told it to look up mustache.
The closest one is Renegade that's right near the airport.
It's very pleasant.
Cool. Are you good?
No. That being said though, Siri spelled it with a mustache.
Siri spelled
with
it
the
with
way,
a mustache.
Oh, you have the British English one.
My beers in my head.
The British English.
And you have British English Siri.
No, I don't. I just have Dude Siri.
Dude Siri. Oh, set it to British English Siri.
Is that Siro? It's like Syrah.
Syria.
Like Buenos Aires.
Yeah, it's like all of that.
All that. Together.
Yeah, all at once.
Yep.
This has been, and we are, a bit drunk.
Cheers. Just a bit.